أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. I was thinking what part of Nahjul Balagha would be better to discuss for our individual development and personal development. I thought this letter which Imam alayhi salam has written to his son, advising him in the course of his life what sort of course he has to take on social level, individual level, spiritual level, moral level. The letter is very comprehensive, and of course we cannot cover it in 1.5 hours. So I have chosen parts of this letter to discuss today. And I think this is one of the most important documents in Nahjul Balagha, in which Amirul Mu'mineen has actually provided his son with his experience of life and with the knowledge that Allah has, of course, endowed in him. Sayyid Razi Rahmatullah Alayhi, who is the author of Nahjul Balagha, and I'm sure in previous sessions you have had a history of Nahjul Balagha, so I don't want to go into details about it, writes that this letter is to his son Hassan ibn Ali alayhi salam. It doesn't somehow go with the contents of the letter, that this letter should have been written for Imam Hassan, because he says that katabaha ilayhi bihadirin inda insirafihi min Siffin, when he was coming back from Siffin, Imam Ali, in a place called Hadirin, he had camped and he wrote this letter. And we know that this should be about the year 38 after Hijra, Siffin, because Imam Ali passed away or was martyred in 40. And in that year, Imam Hassan should have been about 35 years old. Something about that age. While, for example, Imam Ali in this letter mentions that I am actually writing this to you because you are very young and I want you to learn this, because وَإِنَّمَا قَلْبُ الْحَدَثْ كَالْأَرْضِ الْخَالِيَةِ, the heart of a young person is like an empty land, an uncultivated land, and whatever you cultivate in it, whatever you farm in it, it would give fruit of that thing. So I want to actually cultivate your heart with these instructions. So it seems that he is talking to a very young person, not a man of 35 years old, who is Imam Hassan alayhi salam at that time. And that's why certain scholars have surmised that maybe this is just a mistake or a misquote of Sayyid Razi. In the letter should be to Muhammad ibn Hanafiyyah, who was a young man at that time, rather than to Imam Hassan, who was quite a mature person. Anyhow, that's not very important. What we want to see is the content of this letter which Imam writes to his son. And it starts like this, a very moving paragraph about the situation of human being in this world. He says, من الوالد الفان المقر للزمان المدبر العمر المستسلم للدنيا. This is a letter from a father which is towards end of his life, Fani. I'm almost finished. This is the letter I'm writing to you. A walid, a father, which is almost finishing his life, is going to perish soon. Al-muqarr al-zaman, someone who is confessing, acknowledging the power of time. This is a very important thing. You know, as we grow, we think time is something in our benefit. We grow, we develop, and we flourish. which is the case. However, gradually, whatever is given to us, it will be taken away from us. Time will take it away from us. The health, the power, energy, mind, memory, everything. So here Imam says, I acknowledge the power of time on me. This is something that you as young people cannot understand it. Only me and Firuz can understand what it means. You know, it is, although you understand what it means, but you don't understand what it means. Why? You see, just like, it's like, for example, sexual desire. You explain it for a child. They understand, but they don't understand. They don't know what it means. They understand what you say. They understand this attraction and everything that you explain for them, but they don't really know what it means. And this idea of realizing, of course, many people do not realize it still, but the realization of power of time, how it's going to actually drain you of all the blessings that Allah has given you, you would understand it when you actually pass 50, 55, then you realize gradually, and you would confess, you would acknowledge the power, your own defeat, the power of time on you. So this is a letter from a father who is now acknowledging the power of time. That means I have passed through stages which you have not yet passed through stages. المقر للزمان المدبر للأمر. My, you know, at the beginning we are المقبل للأمر. We are actually facing towards life. Life is opening its doors for us when we grow. When we are young, life opens the doors for us, the opportunities. When we pass certain age, actually, we are moving away from it. Life is closing its opportunities to us. This is something that not all people realize, you know. And that's why we do all this mischief and corruption on the earth, because, especially when we grow in age, because we don't realize that the windows of the blessings of life is going to be closed to us soon. So, I have actually now surrendered myself to the power of this world, and I'm going away. Someone, now it's not only this, but the other thing is that I am living in the places, in houses that before me people were living and now they are dead. We can ponder about that as well. Not only about our own drainage of our own power, but we can think about where we are living now. In this room that we are sitting probably 50 years ago, 60 years ago, years ago, there were many other people who were living here. In the houses that we are living, there were many other people who were living. They are all dead. So we are all living in the residence of the dead people. And we do not realize that tomorrow we will be actually the residents of this place, where other people will come and say, oh, they used to live here, now they are gone. So I am residing in the Masakin al-Mawta, al-Dha'ina anha ghadan, and tomorrow I'm going to migrate from this place. Now, this is my situation. Imam Ali alayhi salam is describing his situation. This is my situation. Someone is going to leave soon. Someone who has acknowledged the power of time, has surrendered to the power of this world, power of night and day. And Imam Ali, in many different instances, he says, think about the power of night and day. When night and day passes over you, you don't realize that they are actually diminishing you. They are eating you from your life, from your time and everything, and this he has surrendered. Now, what is your situation? To a son who is desiring things that he never can achieve. When we are young, of course, is the case, isn't it? We want to change the world. We want to have lots of ambitions that, of course, we are not going to have. Some people say that this is not something which befits Imam Hassan alayhi salam, and that's why they say that it is most certainly written to Muhammad ibn Hanafi and not Imam Hassan. But I don't think that's important, because Imam is actually describing the attitude of the youth, the attitude of young people. This is how they think about it. They have all ambitions and everything. They want to change the world. And there's this saying that if you want to change the world, change it before you marry. So I'm talking to men, not to ladies, of course, because after you marry, you cannot even change the TV channel. So you have to take care of yourself now. But you have lots of ambitions, and many of them you are not going to achieve. As-salika sabila man qad halak. You are, of course, traversing on the path of those who have already perished. People who lived 5,000 years ago, 10,000 years ago. Sometimes I actually, when I have free time, I sit and imagine that, you know, in these places that we are living about 10,000 years ago, there were people living with the same ambitions. Of course, different type of life, different culture, but same ambitions, same desires, aspirations, same quarrels, same disputes and all these things. And they're all now gone. The world is ruthless and not considerate of anyone. Everyone he takes away. So you are actually going down that route. Now, what is the situation of a human being in this world? غَرَضِ الْأَسْقَامِ. You are target of all different types of illness. It's the first thing. وَرَهِينَةِ الْأَيَّامِ. You are hostage of different inflictions which come in different days in this life. رَمِيَّةِ الْمَصَائِبِ. You are the aim, just like people who play this darting. You are actually the target for all the calamities, misfortunes. وَعَبْدِ الدُّنْيَا. You are a slave of this world. Not in bad sense that you are a slave of the materialistic things. But no. We are actually do as we are instructed by the world, as calamities tell us, as diseases tell us, as misfortunes tell us. We are slaves here. We think that we are free people, but the threshold of our freedom is very limited. Wa asir al maut. You are, of course, a prisoner of death. Whenever death once would take your life. وقرين الأحزان. And also this world is full of sorrows, sadnesses, difficulties, and all these things. There are other things that he mentions here, explaining what this world in which you are living would look like. Now you are young, you do not realize probably, but this is the world. And then this may bring a theological question, why God has created the world in this way, to be full of diseases, misfortunes, calamities, and all these things. Well, that of course is very clear, because this is where we have to go through different stages of our development, and development needs all these tests. Allah should test our patience, should test our gratitude, should test our generosity, should test our modesty, and all these things should be tested, and therefore all these are in this world. Some atheists actually put forward probably the strongest argument of atheists, is that if God is there, why there are all these misfortunes and calamities and evil? And the answer is very clear, because this world is not the end of everything. This is just a preparation for another world, and we have to go through this, all these different tests and quality controls. You know, quality control is very important. Allah is actually sending us through all these things for quality control, to test the quality of our soul, and then it would be determined where our soul should go. We are part of the creating force behind ourselves. Now, after some instructions, for example, it says, فَإِنِّي أُوسِيكَ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ. I advise you to taqwa all the time, and to وَإِمَارَةِ قَلْبِكَ بِذِكْرِهِ, and to make your heart flourish, to make your heart to be to develop with dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't know, imara, those of you who are Arabs, how you translate imara into English? Do we have anyone who's yes, imara in English, how you imara taqalbek, you construct or construct your heart. Is it a good translation?
I think so, the best one.
Yeah. So, construct in a good way. I mean, make it to flourish. Build it in a good way with the memory, remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he comes to talk about qalb. Now, this is the most important thing which Amir al-Mu'min is actually starting his letter with, is look after your qalb. Now, qalb or heart, we say heart. In religious literature, heart doesn't mean, of course, this physical pump which pumps blood, but it is a center of life for human soul. As the qalb, heart, is center of life for human body, this heart or that part of the soul, which is called heart, is the center of life of the soul. Because our souls will never perish, but may be dead or may be alive. Dead not in the sense that it doesn't exist, dead in the sense that it doesn't understand anything, it has no connection with God. This is a dead soul. Ula'ika, as we have in one saying of Amir al-Mu'min, amwatul ahya, if I remember correctly, they are the dead among the living. They are living, but the hearts are dead. Ula'ika mayyatul ahya, sorry. When Amir al-Mu'min explains certain people who don't understand anything of spirituality, or anything, they say, ula'ika mayyatul ahya, they are alive, but they are like the dead souls. So a soul may be dead, but existing, a soul may be alive. Now, how can we keep this soul or this qalb alive? And what treatment we should give to our heart, to our soul? There are many different aspects of our soul that needs attention. We have to take care of them. Now, Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam is in several sentences here explains how you have to take care of your heart, that center of your soul. Ahya qalbaka bil maw'idha. He actually uses a very beautiful pun or very beautiful ironical statement. Ahya qalbaka bil maw'idha wa amithu bil zahada. Make your heart alive and make it dead. Actually, make it die and make it alive. How? It means that there are certain aspects of our heart that should be alive, certain aspects that should die. And we have to be careful about it. We have to kill certain aspects in our heart and revive certain other aspects in our heart. أَحْيَ قَلْبَكَ بِالْمَوْئِذَا, with exhortation. And this is what everyone needs. Even the Prophet, peace be upon him, the Quran says, لَقَدْ جَاءَكَ فِي هَذِهِ مَوْعِظَةٌ. In the Quran, exhortation has come for you. Every heart needs مَوْعِظَة. It's just like food. Everybody needs food. Every heart is مَوْعِظَة. That we go and listen to someone who talks about spirituality, good morals, good etiquette, good relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are very sensitive creatures, you know. We are influenced very quickly by words, you know, by words, and of course by powerful souls. We are influenced very quickly. So, if, for example, we go and sit, listen to all the time, stories about successes in music, pop idols, and such things, we think the whole life is limited to this. You see, if someone talks to us about business, material things. Oh, it would be good if I go to business, I become rich. See, we are influenced. If someone talks to us about God and spirituality, our hearts fly out. Oh, I want to become the best Arif in this world. This is how Allah has created us. We are influenced by each other. And that's why it's always important who we listen to. Isn't it? فَلْيَنْدُرِ الْإِنسَانُ إِلَىٰ طَعَامِهِ Man should look into his food. And Imam Jafar al-Sadiq alayhi salam said, it's not only the food that you eat, it's also your knowledge. And it's also the words you hear, the TV programs that you watch, the radio programs that you listen. All these would affect us, would have influence on us. And then we think, oh, we are free to choose. And we listen to everything and we are free to choose. No, it's not the case. When we are impacted by something, it's very difficult to actually release ourselves from the grips of those ideas, those things, friends, cohorts, peers, all these things. Now, Imam Ali Salam says, make your heart alive by maw'idah, exhortation. Whenever you find someone who talks truly about God, who talks truly about this spirituality, your relation to God, listen. Listen, and it would revive your heart. And there is some part of your heart, these desires, ambitions about this world, that I want to be the richest person in the world, or for example, I want to be such and such. You kill it in your heart. But by what? By zahada. Zahada is abstinence or somehow withdrawal from the world. Now, withdrawal from the world doesn't mean that you have nothing. You go and live in the cave or in the streets, you become homeless or be a burden on your family. No. It means you kill the desires in your heart. Not in outside world, of course, there is no difference between someone who is a zahid and someone who is a non-zahid, someone who's all desirous about this world. There's no difference in outward appearance. It's all inside the heart. If you kill your ambitions, which are wrong ambitions, which actually cut your connection with Allah, cut your connection with Akhirah, then you have become a zahid. At the time of Ali, there were many ascetics who actually lived very frugally, very poorly, and they were burdens upon other people. And in this context, Imam Ali alayhi salam has explained in many, many different instances that this is not zuhd. Zuhd is what is in your heart. And he says, as zuhdu bayna kalimatayn min al-Qur'an. If you want to know what is real zuhd, abstinence, it is between two sentences of the Quran in Surah Hadid, لَأَلَّا تَأْسَوْا عَلَىٰ مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا أَتَاكُمْ. You do not become so sorrowful and disappointed of what you have missed or lost, and you do not be carried away. This tafrahu means you be carried away. Do not be carried away by what Allah has given you. This is zuhd. Yes.
Which ayat is that?
Surah? It's in Surah Hadid. I don't know the number of the verses. You have to ask that from Muhammad Hussein Tabatabai, the number of the verses. So, أَحْيَ قَلْبَكَ بِالْمَوْئِذَا. First of all, our hearts should be revived. أَمِتْهُ بِالزَّهَادَ. Some aspects in our soul should be killed. وَقَوِّهِ بِالْيَقِينَ. Strengthen it. Again, we need to somehow prop up, to bolster our heart. And it comes through yaqeen. And yaqeen is certitude. Yaqeen comes through contemplation, through remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَوْهِ بِالْيَقِينِ وَنَوَّرْهُ بِالْحِكْمَةِ. And enlighten it with wisdom. You see? So human soul has different needs. It needs to be strengthened, it needs to be enlightened, it needs to be revived, it needs to be killed. All these things, different aspects. وَذَلِّلْهُ بِذِكْرِ الْمَوْتِ. And make it obedient ذللهم is make it obedient, make it humble by remembrance of death. Why people become arrogant, why people become compelling in their views, why people become oppressors? Because they forget death. If we remember death, then all these things would go away. So make your soul, make your heart obedient by remembering death. That's a very important issue. And usually nowadays you see people say, why should we remember death? It's very scary. It comes for itself. We live. Let us have pleasure of life rather than thinking about death. No, of course, if you think about death, your life would become more realistic. Your pleasures would become more realistic because death is a certain factor in every person's life. If there is nothing certain in our lives, for sure, death is the only thing which is certain, which is coming. Now, if we plan our life without considering this certain factor, we are unrealistically living. If we plan our life with the consideration of death, then we plan our life in a realistic way. And of course, a person who is aware of death, of course, awareness is different from knowing. You see, everyone knows that they would die, but they are not aware of it. There's one very beautiful saying from Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam, who says, مَا رَعَيْتُ يَقِينًا لَا شَكَّ فِيهِ أَشْبَهُ بِشَكٍ لَا يَقِينَ فِيهِ مِنَ الْمَوْتِ. I never have seen something certain in a way that there's no doubt in it for anyone, which looks like a doubt in which there is no certainty at all. I never have seen such a thing except death. Death is something that all of us are sure about, but none of us would actually take care about it. We think that it never comes. It's for other people, not for us. It's all we think about that. Now, if we forget the death, we do not remember it, and remembrance of death is something that every religion has advised their followers, that remember your death, because it makes the life more realistic. When I want to, for example, to treat my family, if I do not regard death at all, if I don't remember, my behavior would be one way. If I remember death, that my death may come soon, or it will happen, then my behavior would be different. I become more generous, more tolerant, less obsessed with trivial issues, because I know that this is going to end. And actually, for awliya Allah, death is the sort of opening of the prison of this life, isn't it? The awliya Allah are like convicts in this world, which are convicted to live here, and they are just waiting for this conviction to end by death. And that's why in Surah Jumu'ah it says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ was it? قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ هَادُوا إِنْ زَعَمْتُمْ أَنَّكُمْ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ هَادُوا إِنْ زَعَمْتُمْ أَنَّكُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ لِلَّهِ مِنْ دُونِ النَّاسِ فَتَمَنَّوا الْمَوْتِ. If you think you are awliya Allah, then wish that death comes to you. Of course you never do it. وَلَا يَتَمَنَّوْنَهُ أَبَدًا. Never they would like to have death, because death is not a window which takes them to God, but they are fearful of the punishment, or they are attached to this world. So, by remembrance of death, you make your soul obedient to your spiritual aspirations. It would not disobey you. Your pleasures would not carry you away. Such things. وَقَرِّرْهُ بِالْفَنَاءِ. And make it confess, acknowledge that fana, destruction, is coming. Or the other meaning is that make it solemn, make it solid, firm, by remembrance of the destruction that one day will come. And also, do not try to disregard what is happening in this world. Usually, especially the believers, they try to explain away all these corruptions, calamities, inflictions which are in this world, because they say, well, God is looking, so we want to actually absolve God of these things. No, this is the world that God has created for our development. بَسِّرْهُ فَجَائِعَ الدُّنْيَا. Let it see the fajaya, the, what's fajaya in English? The undesirable things which happen in this world, the misfortunes, the calamities, maybe calamities would be the best word for fajaya, the calamities of this world. Let it see it, ponder upon it. Don't try to explain it away. It is there. This is how God has created this world. وَحَذِّرْهُ سَوْلَةَ الدَّهْرِ. And make it aware. Tell it, beware of the attacks of this world against every individual. وَفُحْشَ تَقَلُّبِ اللَّيَالِ وَالْأَيَّامِ. And the harshness of the alternation of day and night. Let it see. This is interesting that Imam Ali is talking about the world in this way. The world which is created by God, by his Lord, he's explained in this way, because this is how it is. We should not just close our eyes and say, no, everything is rosy, everything is good. It's not. For those who think that, you know, there are some simplistic Muslims who think that at the time of the Prophet, everything was good, rosy, he had companions coming to him, listening, learning every day. Now, I advise them to recite, to read Surah At-Tawbah. Surah At-Tawbah is a very good historical document, very well documented, about how was the situation of Medina before, just a couple of years before the demise of the Prophet. Disobedience, conspiracy against the Prophet, desires for this world, making factions against each other, and all these things were happening at the time of the Prophet. That rosy sort of picture that we have about the time of the Prophet would go away. By reciting Surah At-Tawbah, it all would go away. Minhum, you hear this frequently in Surah At-Tawbah, وَمِنْهُمْ such and such, وَمِنْهُمْ, some of them are like this, some of them are like that, some of them, وَمِنْهُمُ الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ النَّبِي, some of them annoy the Prophet by saying, وَيَقُولُونَ هُوَ أُذُن. Well, what sort of Prophet is this? Whoever goes and talks to him, he believes, he acknowledges them, and all these sort of things which were there. Now, this is one issue. The other issue, we should not really close our eyes, turn a blind eye to the fajai ud dunya, which is there. And even whenever we talk to an atheist who talks about these evil things happening in this world, I think we have to count more than what they say. More than what they say of these evil things in this world. And then we say, okay, it doesn't make sense if it was only this world. But there is another world. I tell you one... let me give you one example. Our life in wombs of our mothers is terrible. I mean, an atheist there would have told you, what is this dark, tight place? Why you live here? What is the purpose of this life here? You have eyes you cannot see with it. You have fingers you cannot grab it. There is nothing to grab here. You have feet here. You cannot walk with it. So what evil life is this? Of course, the explanation would be, let us go to the next world. You would see what is the benefit of this eye, what these fingers would do. This tight place would be changed to an expanse of light and beauty, trees, flowers, everything. And we can smell, we can eat, we can talk, the tongue which is there. Now, nothing would make sense there. And of course, we can add here to the evils that they count for us, saying that, look, these evils are there, so if there is God, so why they are there? We would say that, okay, of course, if you think this is the end of the the matter, nothing would make sense. But God has explained to us Himself that this is just a stepping stone. You come, put your foot, step on this stone and move to another place in which everything would make sense. And another thing, وَذَكِّرْهُ بِمَا أَصَابَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكَ مِنَ الْأَبَّلِينَ. Remember what happened to people who lived before you. وَسَرْ فِي دِيَارِهِمْ وَآثَارِهِمْ. Go and look into their houses, their cities, what the relics they have left. فَانْدُرْ فِي مَا أَمْ فَعَلُوا وَأَمْ مَنْ تَغَلُوا. And consider, think, ponder what they did. From what pleasures, from what wealth they were actually transferred to another world under the ground. And it's very good that we go and see different sites of ancient places in the world. It's very good. And these ISIS which go and destroy every ancient place saying this is shirk, we should not think about it, they are actually doing exactly against the advice of the Quran. قُلْ سِيرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ فَانْظُرُوا كَيْفَ كَانَ عَاقِبَةُ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلُ. Go and look into the earth, travel and look at these relics which are there and consider what happened to people who were there in the past. Unfortunately, nowadays, this sightseeing and going into historical sites, although it's a good thing, it's a good holiday for people, but when we go there, we don't really think about the philosophy of life. We just think, oh, look what big, for example, things they made, how they made all these arches and so, or for example, these towers and such things. We don't think the way the Quran and Imam Ali itself tells us to think about it, that what happened to those who made such a civilization. You know, Allah has actually destroyed the most powerful civilizations in history, not just a village or a city or something like that. The most powerful civilizations with the power that they had, and they thought that no one can ever defeat them, destroy them, because of course their life degenerated into something evil. They say when Napoleon went to Egypt, you know, you see these two huge statues of Pharaoh beside the Nile, very big, very big. And he looked at it, and it's so tall, you know, that when he looked up, his hat fell. And he said, if there was one man in history, it was this man who created such a statue, so big of himself. This is how he thinks about it, you see? He doesn't say, this man who created such a huge statue of himself is now under the rubbles of the earth. Gone. Finished. This is the way we have to think about these issues. Okay. Then, as I said, I've just chosen excerpt from this long letter. وَتَفَقَّهْ فِي الدِّينِ. And be deep in religion. This is again something which unfortunately many of us do not have. We are very superficial. We are very ritualistic in faith. We don't think deep about our beliefs. We don't think deep about our rituals. And unfortunately, I don't know why day by day we are becoming more ritualistic, we are becoming more superficial, more thinking just about doing certain acts, certain amal, without thinking about the depth of it, even without thinking what we are saying, what we are doing. Does it conform with the Quran? Does it not conform with the Quran? These are all the things that we have to think about. And this is tafaqquh. Tafaqquh fi ddeen. Tafaqquh, fiqh is understanding. Tafaqquh is seek understanding. It's not the technical term that we nowadays use for ahkam, fiqh. No. Tafaqquh means gain deep understanding of your faith, what you believe in, why you believe in these things, what are these things at all which are mentioned in the Quran or in every religion. وَتَفَقَّهْ فِي الدِّينِ وَأَوَّدْ نَفْسَكَ التَّصَبُّرَ عَلَى الْمَكْرُوهِ. And make itself a habit of yourself to be patient in all difficulties, makruh, what is undesirable, what is not pleasant for the unpleasant things. Make yourself to have patience on it, because without any exception, everyone is going to go through unpleasant moments in their lives. And he says, تَصَبَّرْ نَفْسَكَ عَلَى الْمَكْرُوهِ. And this is what is mentioned in the Quran. This is the advice of Luqman to his son, isn't it? وَاسْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ إِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. This is the final words that I can tell you. Whatever inflicts you in this world, have patience. Because, as I said, we are here to actually show our reactions to things. Sometimes by sabr, sometimes by shukr, sometimes by other means. So we have to accept whatever comes to us. وَتَصَبَّرْ عَلَى الْمَكْرُوهِ وَعَوَّدْ نَفْسَكَ التَّصَبُّرَ عَلَى الْمَكْرُوهِ وَنِعْمَ الْخُلُقِ التَّصَبُّرُ فِي الْحَقِّ. And the most important type of tasabbur, the most important trait of character, is that when there is something haq, and you are defending that haq, you are pressing on that haq, you have patience in whatever inflicts you. You know, patience, usually we think patience is a passive thing, that, okay, well, whatever comes, we accept. No, what is mentioned in the Quran is that, for example, the prophets in Surah Ibrahim, they were preaching the faith, and people attacked them because of it, and they persevered. This perseverance and insistence on haq, of course, would bring difficulties. And sabr is for this place, that you have the sabr. Wala nasbiranna, in Surah Ibrahim, wala nasbiranna ala ma adaytumuna. Whatever infliction, injury you bring upon us, we do not desist from our haq position. لَنَصْبِرَنَّ عَلَى مَا عَضَيْتُمُونَ وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُتَوَكَّلُونَ. Now the meaning of tawakkul here is clear as that, and the mutawakkilun should rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here again, tawakkul is not something that, okay, we leave it to God, let's God solve it for us. No, we stand firm, we do whatever we have to do, and we rely on God no matter what comes on us. We rely on He can actually be our attorney, be our wakil for our well-being. وَأَلْجِئْ, and this is again the continuation, أَلْجِئْ نَفْسَكَ فِي أُمُورِكَ كُلَّهَا إِلَىٰ إِلَٰهِكَ. You take your nafs, take refuge in whatever happens to you, to your Lord, because He is saying, Tawalla min amri. This is one dua which is very beautiful in dua Abu Hamza, one phrase that Tawalla min amri ma anta ahluhu. Take charge of my affairs the way you deserve, not the way I deserve. Of course, I don't deserve anything, but the way you deserve, as someone who takes charge of other things. You know, a very powerful, wealthy, kind, considerate father, how would he take charge of the affairs of his children? Now, you, of course, are not comparable to that, but you take charge of my affairs. When you say this, then you don't worry what happens to you. Fortune, misfortune, wealth, poverty, health, disease, because you say, I leave it to you, whatever you decide, how you want to take it. For example, when we are ill, we go to the doctor. Doctor says there are several things that we can do, an operation or for example, you take medicine or something. We say, whatever you decide, isn't it? Whatever you, because you know better which one is better. You want to amputate, you want to give me medicine, you want to operate or whatever, I leave it to you. Now, with regards to Allah, that should be always the case. I leave it to you. I do whatever I can, is my duty, whatever my reason tells me to do, but the result, I leave it to you, and I'm happy. Whatever you bring I am happy with that. ألجئ نفسك في أمورك كلها إلى إلهك فإنك. If you do this, تلجئها إلى كهف حريز ومانع عزيز. You take it to a cave. Usually cave was a place of refuge, especially when people ran away from oppressors, to a very protective cave and to a protector who's very powerful. وَأَخْلِصْ فِي الْمَسْأَلَةِ لِرَبِّكَ. And anything you want, ask from your Lord. Even if it comes through people, you of course thank them, but you don't ask anyone. Ask Allah for whatever. أخلص في المسألة ربك فإن بيده العطاء والحرمان. You should know that it is in his hand, it's not in anyone's hands. We think that because it usually comes through different means, we think that it's those means which are effect. No, it's only in his hand. وأكثر الاستخارة. And do استخارة all the time. What استخارة? Of course, we have some people who unfortunately have my mobile number. Day, night, morning, evening, call. Could you do an istikhara for me? No, he doesn't mean that. No. Akthar istikhara means ask khair from Allah all the time. All the time ask khair from Allah. Because, you know, this dua is something which is given to us as a gift from Allah. We don't use it very much. It's just like a weapon given to us. We don't use it very much. We are, okay, ya Allah, you know better. You do whatever. No. It's very good. But we have to ask him things. We have to ask him khair all the time. Anything we want to do. The istikhara that we have in hadith and other things is that whatever you want to do, especially if it's important, you do two rak'ah of salat and then say, ya Allah, I ask you khair in this. No matter what the, for example, the decision is going to be, whether I'm going to have this, for example, this contract or not, whether I'm going to get into university or not, but I ask khair for you, whatever is better for me, you give it to me. If you want to buy a house, for example, you do istikhara beforehand. Not that you ask whether it's good for me to or not, no. Do two rak'ah of salat and say, Astakhirullah bi rahmatih. I ask khair from Allah in this. In marriage, it's very important, you do istikhara. But not istikhara the way we do it by Quran, no, no. This istikhara, usually in marriage, I say, I don't accept istikhara. There is no need for istikhara. You just find, if you like someone, if you are matched for each other, marry. There is no need for istikhara. There is no need for this istikhara. But there is need for this istikhara that Imam Ali says. Ask khair from Allah. You know, when we marry, we really don't know what type of character our husband or our wife would have. Isn't it? It doesn't show itself with just several contacts or family acquaintance and such things. People show themselves in real life. So if we ask for, if we do istikhara, ask Allah for khair, real khair, and Allah is always ready to answer, inshallah. Okay, we take a break and we will continue with other parts of this.